Let me just say that I love today's gospel text, which might seem strange. The first reason is because it's a complex text, dense with questions and implications, a text which requires us to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. And what that means is, if you were to take just today's snippet from Luke outside of the broader good news of Jesus, you might read it in one way, but if you read it in context of the whole gospel, it means something else. I used to dread this text coming up as the assigned Sunday text every 3 years, but finally, after wading through it and wrestling with its complexity over and over, I reached an aha, I think I see it moment. And there was a big sense of satisfaction. And that's when I began to actually like this text. I think this text, now that I sort of have a handle on it, I think it's a powerful text for helping us understand who God is, who we are, who we are called to become. So let's jump in. The story starts with some people approaching Jesus. And they ask him, "Hey, did you hear about those people whom Pilate killed? They were Galileans like you, and when he killed them, he threw their blood on the altar with the blood of the sacrifices. It was horrible." I can imagine that they were not only horrified but angry at this yet one more atrocity by Pilate. The history books outside of the Bible list significant atrocities committed by Pilate. He was an oppressive governor of a brutal empire. Maybe they were telling Jesus this because they hoped he would get angry. He too was a Galilean. Maybe they were hoping he would raise an army and help them get revenge. But Jesus responds in a surprising way. "Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than others? Do you think that God was punishing them with Pilate's violence? And what about those other people upon whom a tower fell?" Jesus says, "Do you think they were worse sinners than the other people in Jerusalem? Do you think God was punishing them?" "No, I tell you. No, God had nothing to do with this violence, nothing to do with this death. These people were not being punished by God. They were not worse sinners than anyone else deserving of punishment from God, because God is not a God of death." And yet, he continued, "If you do not repent, you too will die like they did." That's the part where people stop and go, "What? Wait, how can this be? If you do not repent, you will die like they did. But Jesus just said God didn't kill them. Didn't Jesus just say they were not punished by God because they were sinners? That's not who God is? Didn't he say that these people weren't particularly bad people deserving punishment by God?" This is where it gets tricky. If Jesus said those people didn't die because they were worse sinners, they didn't die because God was punishing them, then how can he follow that by saying, "If you don't repent, you will die like them"? How do these two things fit together? Well, I think we have to take a step back. Perhaps you'll remember, you may have heard me saying before, I've said it multiple times over the years, perhaps you remember me saying that most everything we think we know about the word repent is not quite right. Repent, the Greek word that Jesus speaks, that's in Jesus' mind, remember he's not speaking or thinking in English, repent does not primarily mean to say you're sorry. That's what we think of when we hear the word repent. But repent, the word that's translated there from Greek, doesn't primarily mean say that you are sorry. No, repent literally means turn around. And the meaning, when Jesus says that word, is decide to turn and go another way. Repent, symbolically, the meaning of the word is you need to change your mind. You need to change your heart. You need to change how you think and how you act and how you live. You need to change where you put your trust. So do you see it? Do you hear the good news yet? Let's rewind, go back to the beginning. The story starts with some people approaching Jesus. Hey, Jesus, did you hear about those people whom Pilate killed? They were Galileans like you. Pilate killed them and threw their blood on the altar with the blood of the sacrifice. It was horrible. We can imagine they were angry at this one more atrocity by Pilate, the governor of this oppressive, brutal empire, and maybe they hoped Jesus would get angry. He too was a Galilean. Maybe he would raise an army and get revenge. There it is. That's the point. When Jesus says, unless you repent, unless you turn around, unless you have a change of mind, a change of heart, unless you change how you think, how you act, how you live, you will die. He's pointing at the hearts and minds of the people asking the question of this text. Jesus is saying, unless you let go of your desire for revenge, unless you let go of your desire for violence, unless you let go of your hatred, unless you let go of your desire to get even, unless you put your trust in a different way of being, you will die caught up in the never-ending workings of all of humanity's systems of oppression and death. Friends, this is the good news. The good news that Jesus reveals over and over and over. This truth. Hatred always begets hatred. Conflict always begets conflict. Death always leads to death. Why is this good news? Because Jesus is not only revealing this truth, unmasking the systems of fear and sin, division and conflict, hatred and violence and power that always lead us to turn against one another, always lead toward death. He is showing a different way, leading us away from the power of death. Jesus is revealing, he is insisting that we are wrong, that we are so wrong when we think that death comes from God, that violence and wrath and vengeance and punishment are what God is about. We are wrong when we believe that violence can end violence, that hatred can end hatred, that war can end war. The good news, which Christ proclaims, there is another way. Have you noticed how this fits into the journey that we know Jesus is on? How this story points forward to Jerusalem? Did you catch the foreshadowing? Jesus is a Galilean who is no worse sinner than others. In fact, he's no sinner at all. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to give himself over, to have his blood mingled with all the other sacrifices of innocent people that those in power make every day. The sacrifices of oppression and violence and death that leaders use to bring a false peace. You see, Jesus' answer, his teaching, points toward Jerusalem, where he will give himself to our sacrificial violence to expose it for what it is and be raised from the dead, resurrected, to say, even though you killed me, I speak mercy, forgiveness, and love as an antidote, as the cure, as the way forward, as a way of hope and life. Do you remember that the high priest Caiaphas, just before Jesus was arrested, said, if this one man dies, it will bring peace and Rome will not kill us all. But he was wrong, because eventually Rome did sack Jerusalem and kill thousands of Jews. Do you remember that Pontius Pilate, in the trial scene, he condemned Jesus to die in order to avoid a riot of the crowd, to avoid suffering the wrath of the emperor, Caesar, for allowing the Jews to revolt under his watch? He was protecting himself from his boss. But he was wrong. Eventually, Pilate was removed for that very reason, because violence didn't stop violence. Remember Judas betraying Jesus? It seems most likely the reason he did that is that he hoped that when the soldiers came to get Jesus, he would finally be forced to do what Judas wanted him to do, to raise up an army, to start a war. But he was wrong too. Jesus was God, and God never starts a war. This is the truth. It's the truth we have to face, the truth we must hear in order to be freed from the brokenness. Humanity, we all too often believe in the power of violence to bring peace. We believe in the power of force to bring peace. We believe in the power of power to bring peace. But ultimately, Jesus says, we're wrong. These have no power to bring lasting peace. And so Jesus speaks the good news. If you don't repent, if you don't change your mind, if you don't change your ways, if you don't put your trust in something new, something life-giving, this fear and division and hatred and violence and death will continue, but you don't have to do that. Follow me and change. There is a way out. Transformation is possible. Follow me. I am the way. And then Jesus told a story. A man grew impatient with a fig tree that hadn't borne any fruit. So he told his gardener, cut it down, take it out, plant something different. And the gardener said, let's give it another chance. Let's care for it. Let's feed it. Let's help it to bloom and bear fruit, the fruit of our love. Friends, this is the good news. Our Christ is the good gardener who wants to help us to change, to grow, to bear fruit. Jesus is calling us. always change your hearts and follow me into the way of new life. Amen.